Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD, brought to us by Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? On the panel this week, we have Jonathan Schweitzer. He's senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel. And Bhupesh Mehta, he is secretary of the Jain Society of Greater Washington, D.C., based in Silver Spring. And if you're not sure what the Jain Society is all about, well, you got to go to the website, WFMD.com, keyword faith, or go to the Audio Vault section and listen to the podcast of the previous 3 weeks' worth of shows where we outlined all of that. For today's purposes, the most important thing for you probably to know is, oh, hold on a second, what did I do wrong? Jain Society of Metropolitan Washington? Have I been saying it wrong this whole time? I've been saying it wrong for weeks, and he finally decides to let me know. We'll go back in the post-editing and clean it all up. Don't worry about that.
Troy, yeah. I've been trying to keep up with what you say and try to correct you for so long. Some things just are not possible, you know? One day we'll be perfect, but for now...
Anyway, for the purposes of today's show, there are lots of distinctives, lots of differences between Christianity and Jainism, and we're not going to go through all of those different things, but suffice it to say for now that one of the significant differences has to do with one of the things that's most important to Jains is being nonviolent. And they hold that nonviolence, they shouldn't be physically violent, they shouldn't be verbally violent, and they shouldn't be mentally violent. They shouldn't have bad mental thoughts about things, which Christians would agree with those things. The difference is in really defining what equates with violence and what doesn't. A Jain, if they were to step on an ant and kill it, that would be a violent thing. It would bring bad karma. A Christian would be like, oh, I killed an ant. Well, that's kind of too bad, but oh, well, go on with my life, you know? And primarily it's because a Christian believes that there is a specialness to humanity that doesn't apply to the rest of what a Christian would call creation, while a Jain believes that human beings and animals and plant life and perhaps other things. I'm not sure if you believe that all matter has a soul. We didn't really get into that or not.
Like not all matter, just all living matter.
Because all living matter has a soul.
Yes. Right.
So all living matter in the universe, which to our knowledge is confined to the planet Earth, is kind of morally equivalent. So it's just as wrong to go kill a cow as is to go kill your next door neighbor.
The only difference between the soul of an ant and me or you is basically the karmas. It has the same potential as you do. So we have no right to hurt any soul in this universe. That's what we believe in.
Now, this goes to some pretty big extremes from a Western cultural context. Jains don't eat carrots, right? Because that's the root, that's the life source for the plant. So you won't eat the roots of plants, for
right.
example.
There are certain, some reasons why we don't eat things that are under the ground, like potatoes, carrots, onions, and stuff like that. First thing is...
So would you include in that anything that's fermented?
Right.
Even fermentation has things living inside of it,
exactly.
So you would stay away from eating
right.
something like
even
that.
Even fermentation is
Yogurt,
right.
pickles, all those kinds of things.
Yeah, there are certain things, like even peanuts, they are okay because we have distinctions between vanaspatikai. Vanaspatikai is the body of vegetable. There are two types of vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
One is sadharan vanaspati, and the second one is pratyek vanaspati. When I say pratyek, it means that one vegetable has one soul. When I say sadharan vanaspati, each body has infinite number of souls, and potato actually falls into that category.
Now, let me ask you a question about that.
Potato has a bunch of souls in a... give me an example of a vegetable that doesn't have any, that only has one soul.
Like if you take banana, apple, see, even when you eat leaves, you're not basically killing the whole tree. It is written in our sculptures that if you take a needle and put potato on the tip of the needle, it has got infinite living organisms on that.
Now, why is it that you believe that, you know, these vegetables have souls, for example? Because the...
That's what Lord Mahavira in his... See, he's an enlightened soul. He can see every living being. In fact...
How can we know that he's right?
Well, let's take example of water. You believe water has organisms, right?
Sure. Yeah.
In our Agams, Lord Mahavira said this 2,600 years ago, that there is life in water. We believe it now.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was said long before. The same thing, there are research done on plant life, that whether they have feelings or not. I was watching this Discovery Channel where they were trying to put transistors and try to see if life reacts on thoughts. And there's a lot of research going on. And
it's very popular right now to be of the opinion that that the earth has a soul and has feelings, you know, that Mother Earth, Gaia, you know, or that trees have souls, you know, and this kind of thing. That's a very popular thing.
Actually,
right now.
I'll tell you, which maybe, you know, will be fascinating you guys, that there are six Gaias. The body, Prithvi Kai.
Gaia is the Gaia term for Mother Earth. So there's
six Gaia
Earths?
Is just the body.
Oh.
Prithvi Kai is basically the Mother Earth or Earth. Apkai is the body of water. Vayukai is the body of air. Teukai is Apkai, Vayukai, Teukai.
So these are the souls of the earth. There's basically
souls,
six.
Different sex, souls in different forms.
Elements of the soul, yeah.
Fire,
so
maybe?
One is fire. Traskai, and Vanaspatikai we talked. Traskai is basically human beings, and Vanaspatikai is the vegetables. So it's been
and
written.
Of course, from a Christian perspective, that's totally untrue.
Right.
Sure.
So basically, when you take out anything which is under the ground, first thing, let's talk scientifically. When something is under the ground, there is a lot of moisture.
Yeah.
There's lack of sunlight.
Yeah.
The living things are more inside the ground. They tend, when you
remove... Yeah, they're everywhere.
When you remove the potatoes out, you tend to kill. And when you take something out of the root, you're basically killing the whole plant instead of taking the leaves.
Is it ever appropriate or right or acceptable to kill anything ever?
No, nothing. You are not supposed to kill anyone hurt. I told you, for us, nonviolence is even hurting. If I cannot even be harsh on you, that's
okay,
violence.
Okay, but let's take that out a little bit. Wheat,
right?
That you eat, mm-hmm. You eat the same thing that you sow into the ground to produce new life.
Right.
So then, is that
all right? Let me talk about
yes. The wheat seed has a soul.
It does.
And so, but it's okay to eat it.
Right. And I'll explain you why. Let's start with potatoes, and then we'll get on to the wheats. There are specific foods like our body is basically whatever you eat. Your body, your thinking is basically on what you eat. Basically, it gives you chemicals and stuff like that, which is scientific.
Are what you eat.
Vitamins, you are what you eat,
minerals.
And you think what you eat. And there are sayings in basically Indian thing is basically jaisa khave ann waisa hue man.
The difference though might be that from a Christian point of view, mm-hmm. I'm not going to disagree. By the way, if you're a first time listener to the show, I come from a Protestant Christian point of view on this, so I share an awful lot in common with Jonathan. So from that point of view, I'm not going to disagree with the biology of that, you know, we need to eat a healthy diet, and if we eat good things, that we will have good, healthy bodies, that sort of thing. But that's different than the morality question or the mm-hmm. soul question,
right.
But you're blending those two somehow, I guess, or...
But he's saying that there's a soul in the wheat, there's a soul in the carrot, there's a soul in everything that's alive, and so therefore we need to treat those things with the same level
respect
exactly. That you treat yourself.
Let's get back to the potatoes thing.
Okay. Potatoes.
Okay. Potatoes basically are under the ground, and because of the moisture there's a lot of, and when you kill, basically you kill the root.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. The second thing is in each... body, like as we talked about, pratyek vanaspatikai and sadharan vanaspatikai. In each, even the tip, like I said, if you keep a potato on a needle top, and then if you look, there are infinite organisms. The third thing is, there are three types of food that has been mentioned in Jainism, sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. Sattvic is the simple food, like wheat and, you know,
rice,
rice and lettuce and things like that. And we have rajasic food, which is cheese, cream, sugar, more, you know, tastier food. And then we have tamasic food, which is meat and the roots. And the difference is when you eat the sattvic food, your thoughts, your life, your view towards the universe is simple. You're not that much attached. When you eat rajasic food, which is more tasty, more buttery, more cheesy, those kind of foods creates passion. Like you get mohaniya karam.
Of course, meat, you're a red meat guy. It really produces
violent
passion.
That's violent. Meat is basically giving you violent thoughts.
Violent thoughts.
So basically, that's meat. Because see, when you kill an animal, animal has more organism in itself.
Now, I got to add, with these sorts of subjects, it's a kind of the classic philosophical question to ask is the livability question. You know, how can you live with the worldview? For example, a spider is a reincarnated creature in the view of a Jain, correct?
Right.
And spiders trap other insects and then eat them every day.
Right.
How would they ever escape the reincarnation cycle of being a spider? Or if we didn't have other animals killing other animals in the wild, we'd have unbelievable overpopulation in the animal kingdoms, and they would all end up dying from starvation because the ecosystem couldn't sustain itself. Or you mentioned on driving over to do the show today how you had to make a decision, like, do I drive up 270 because I'm sure to hit at least one bug on the highway.
Mm-hmm. In fact, you probably hit at least a couple hundred.
Yeah, you know, and have it go splat kind of thing. I mean, how could we possibly, how could society as a whole, how could you as an individual, and how could all of nature continue to exist if the beliefs of Jainism were perfectly applied?
Right. Okay. First thing first. Let's talk about talking about how do you live a life without doing any harm to anyone. Mahavira, who's our 24th Tirthankara, Lord Mahavira, and his disciple Gautam Swami, they had a conversation, and Gautam Swami asked Mahavira that, you know, the moment I say I walk, I kill. So how do I live without killing? And the answer to that is living is killing. When you live, when you breathe, you kill. But least killing is the best living. When you kill least, when you try to minimize.
And right, and so then would you argue along those same lines that therefore the best thing to do would be to achieve enlightenment and not live anymore?
Well,
right, because then you're not killing anything. I mean, to be enlightened and, mm-hmm. and to sit, you know, to sit in the lotus position,
right.
You know, and to stay mm-hmm. and to let yourself be released into moksha, you know, and I mean that would be the highest.
Basically, they're saying whatever you do, do it with your consciousness. Be alert. When you brush your teeth, don't leave the water on, because that's killing. When you cook, don't leave something on and let it cook. Do whatever is minimized.
This is precisely where it's difficult for me, because if I'm going to live, then I'm going to kill something.
Minimize.
Things are going to die.
Minimize killing.
And so I live with a guilt over my head that I'm killing.
Right.
Hundreds of thousands of things.
That should be motivation, that I'm killing. What am I doing for living? What am I doing for my soul to move forward? That's a motivation.
But I'm not going to be released from that guilt for at least a couple hundred reincarnations.
That's not true. That's not
no,
true.
No. You had said earlier. No, that's right. You had said earlier that if I ask forgiveness, then I'll be released from a certain amount of that karma right away.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Even though I'm not going to be released from the rest of the guilt or the rest of the karma for at least a couple hundred reincarnations yet.
You don't know.
At best. I mean, at best. At worst, it's going to be a couple million reincarnations yet.
Well, there now millions, right?
I mean, that's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time, but it's a lot of time for
human
beings, because our...
Well, if you're a fruit fly, I mean, yeah, every day.
It depends upon it depends upon what your karmas are.
You're so violent.
I mean, they only live 24 hours.
Like, for example, I'm of the opinion that God is going to judge the earth because of sin that has come upon the earth, and that God uses the sword. He put the sword, the first place in the entire Bible that we see the sword shows up is when Adam and Eve are kicked out of the garden. God puts an angel there with a sword protecting the way to the tree of life. And so everywhere that you find the sword in Scripture, everywhere, it's because God is protecting life. Whether he's protecting the life of his holy people Israel, whether he's protecting the life of believers, you know, that there's certain cancerous things, like the cancer, if a cancer grows in my body, it's killing me. And so the sword is there to like a surgeon's scalpel to cut out what's killing the rest of the body so that the body can live. So you and I are in agreement that life is a beautiful thing. In fact, you and I are even in agreement that the lion should lay down with the lamb. You know, that's a very biblical concept, that the lion's going to lay down with the lamb. However, the path to get there is that everything, according to the Bible, everything that is a source of killing is going to have to be killed. And that Jesus Christ himself is going to come, and he is going to, you know, according to Scripture, he's going to lay waste to 2/3 of the population of the planet.
My first question is,
and why that it's a righteous thing to do that.
Why did God create all these things? What was the purpose of him creating you?
Because every single one of those people has the option to choose to love God and to not be self-centered.
So he created people so that they love him.
Yes. Just like you love your wife.
And so that they
Is there something wrong with you loving
them.
Your wife?
So basically,
it's a love relationship.
So, but how can he play with us? Like, how can he
He's
create?
Not playing with us. It's very real. He's very serious.
But when you get hurt,
yeah,
when you lose your close one, you feel sad. Why is he doing that? Why did he create you to give that pain? Why didn't he not keep you with himself and give him bliss always?
See, this is precisely where Jains and Christians are so far apart. It's amazing to me how far apart. Jains are of the opinion that passion and love, things that attach us to one another, are evil.
Right.
And I'm of the opinion that those are the highest of righteousness and goodness. That we would love one another, that I would love you so much that if you died, I would hurt in my very soul so deeply that I would yearn for you to not have died, and that I would want to be with you, that I would yearn for the time that I would be able to be reconciled with you in heaven and be reconciled with my Father, my Heavenly Father in heaven. And Jainism is of the opinion that we should not be attached to anything.
Right.
And that we need to be released. In fact, your teachers, your Tirthankaras are totally uninterested in helping you in any way whatsoever, except to give you a teaching to teach you how to be more self-centered, be
First
more focused
all,
on yourself. And that bothers
realize,
me very deeply.
No, we realize that we have the same potential as he is.
But he's not going to lift a finger to help you.
Why do you need help when you have everything? Why do you
because
need more?
Because I have millions of reincarnations worth of karma on my shoulders.
Right.
So help me already.
Your
Jesus
soul,
came to help me.
Your soul has all the power in itself. You just need to realize what you are. Once you know that, these karmas will shed by itself.
That is the most exasperating thing I've
tell
heard
you, I'll tell you
in
one
months.
More thing. I'll tell you one more thing. Raja Shrenik, he is in hell.
Yeah,
he will be.
Do I
he's
know this
a
guy?
King. Raja Shrenik is a king.
Yeah,
and he did some good deeds.
Yeah,
he will be the next Tirthankaras. At this point,
Raja Shrenik will.
Raja Shrenik.
Shrenik.
He is the first Tirthankara in the next life cycle.
Oh wow! So you already know this?
We already know that.
Fascinating.
And he's coming from hell?
He is in the hell as
That's not encouraging from a Christian's point of view.
All right. Now, I'll tell you, that's why I mentioned it.
By the way, this is the Frederick Faith Event on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. You're listening to, I'm Troy Skinner. You're listening to the senior pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel, Jonathan Schweitzer. And let's see if I can get this right this time. Secretary of the Jain Society of Greater Washington.
Metropolitan Washington.
That's what I've been doing wrong the whole time.
Right.
Based in Silver Spring, Bhupesh Mehta. Okay. So you were saying.
Right.
Even remember, I'm sorry.
About coming from hell, the next Tirthankara.
Right. So basically, even in hell, he has been experiencing such bad pain.
Yeah.
But once you realize, once you get your self-realization that you are the soul and you, it's the body, the pain is just because of the fact that you did something wrong and it's the karmas, and you be neutral to it, the soul that is in hell will become the first Tirthankaras in the next era, so, which is amazing. So,
Wait a minute, though. So you're saying that because of this pain, he's coming to this realization.
No, not because of the pain. He did something in the past. Lord Mahavir will not come to rescue him. If you have done something wrong, if you have killed, you have to bear the fruits of it.
That there bothers me that nobody's willing to help out.
But he will be the next Tirthankara. Because he realized that I'm the soul.
Right, right, but nobody's helping me. I'm not going to be the next Tirthankara. I mean, even if he's the next Tirthankara, it's still not going to be for a couple thousand years yet.
Right.
Right. So he's got all that time to spend in hell, and nobody cares enough to go help the guy.
Well, when you say nobody...
Nobody. There is nobody. There's no
there
God.
There's nobody, right. That's
there's
what I'm
no
saying. Why do you need some help? It's your soul. You
because
know the
I've
truth.
Because I've got this huge weight of karma that's hanging on my shoulders.
Right. Once you self-realize, those thousands of years are nothing. Once you realize what you are, what your soul is, there's no pain. There's
you can
nothing.
Tell me that intellectually, but it makes no sense whatsoever in terms of real everyday life. If I go hang out, you know, there's people I go over to the prison all the time, hanging out with guys that are criminals in prison, and those guys are suffering. They're in a tough spot, you know. I hang out with people that are you know, I wouldn't say prostitutes, but practically prostitutes, you know, and they're the low and the level of suffering that they go. I mean, you've got a loving marriage, you probably got a couple kids, you've got friends, you've got a great society. You and I don't experience suffering anywhere near what these guys go through, and I'm going to go to them and say, look. If you just work a little bit harder, a couple thousand reincarnations from now, you might finally be free of your suffering. That is the cruelest thing that I could ever tell them.
Let me tell you one thing.
Where's the kindness there?
When we say Jainism...
You say it kindly, and you say it with gentleness and with a smile on your face,
right.
with no passion, you know, very detached. But I got to tell you, it's a very cruel thing to say to anybody.
Well, if I did, I'm sorry for that. But what I meant to say
no, you're
is...
not, because you're saying what you believe.
Right. I believe...
It's a cruel
that,
thing.
The fact is, by following Jainism, you don't become a Jain. If you follow non-violence,
yeah,
you're basically moving towards your liberation. You're basically following. So it's
moksha.
Not, yeah, because the way I see you, like when you say love towards, you know, those are some of the qualities. You need to love each soul. And
You can't love somebody without being attached to them.
No, it's not true.
Love is attachment.
No. See, there is difference between, we call persons who live in the world like a lotus. Right? It's in the pond, but it's detached. It's not, it's in the dirt. It's in the sun, in the universe. But those souls, they know their Raja Shrenik. He's in the hell, but he knows who he is.
According to the Bible, God is a jealous God, and that the highest,
how can God be
the
jealous?
Highest expression of his love is that he is offering to you a covenant attachment, the strongest imaginable attachment. And the gloriousness of his love is that for those that reject that kind of love, that he is going to be so jealous that he will be full of wrath, that he has been rejected. He has offered to you and to everybody else on the planet a covenant attachment where you give yourself. It's a blood covenant. That you would give your life for him, that he would give his life for you. Abraham was invited to give his son on the altar.
The first thing that I don't get,
now that I know that you would do that,
why does God have desires? Like he is a perfect, right? When you say God, he's a perfect
being.
This
is precisely the point.
Why is there a desire? Why does he want?
Because he loves you.
And why does he created you? And then he has expectations that you follow him, you
absolutely.
Love him. Why did he?
Why do you have expectations that your wife would love you?
In fact, if you really follow Jainism, my wife might
wife
have been
you.
My son, my father in my past lives. So these are because of the karmas that we are together. And in next life, who knows what she'll be? Who knows what I'll be?
That's what's amazing to me. That is so different from Christianity that I can't even begin to think that there's anything good about it.
We're going to have to
kind of forgive me.
Kind of wrap this up. But I do want to ask, it's like a logical kind of a question, so and we don't have time for a full answer. But you do, I would imagine, those who are Jains desire to achieve enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that correct? So
right.
Is that an attachment? So, you know, it doesn't...
And in fact, when you get to enlightenment, you have eternal bliss.
Right.
Isn't that...
I'll give you 30 seconds. Basically, even the good deeds that you do is basically helps you to move towards enlightenment. Now, enlightenment is not attachment. When you have, like I said, you go to heaven, but you have good deeds, you have to share those good deeds to get into moksha. If you have, wanting, that craving... You're not going to succeed. You have to loosen it up. So you're going
to
get this.
The only way to become enlightened is to not really want to become enlightened.
No, you are enlightened inside.
Yeah, I mean,
you are enlightened inside. It's just that the karma which is blocking you. So once you take off the karmas, you don't have to force yourself to get enlightened.
That's what you need. You need a karma bath.
Now you're just being silly.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to end on that note. We'll have to have you back maybe sometime because there's so much more that we could talk about.
So
hopefully,
hopefully
you'd be willing to make the trip up 270.
Sure. It'll be a pleasure coming here.
So anyway, Jonathan Schweitzer, Senior Pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel, and Bhupesh Mehta, the Secretary of the Jain Society of Metropolitan Washington, based in Silver Spring. Thanks to our sponsor, Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? I'm Troy Skinner, and I want to encourage you to visit us online, WFMD.com, keyword faith. And if you like or didn't like what you heard today, or if you have another topic you'd like us to explore, or some other guests you'd like us to have on, or if you yourself are a local area religious leader or have an inside track to one, and you'd like to suggest yourself or that person as a guest, email me. It's simple enough, Troy, T-R-O-Y, at WFMD.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless.